Welcome to the Swedish Innovation Podcast, where we export Swedish unicorness.
No buzzwords, just real life stories with Sweden's most innovative thinkers and doers. A podcast made by me, Sandra Bourbon.
And me, Sara Hermansson.
Today we will talk to Asra Omancevic and Evelina Antila, who are the co-founders of the legal tech company Justic. They are both lawyers. They met several years ago and they decided to create this company. We will hear all about their startup story, what has been the biggest challenges and celebrations so far. We also talk about the trends within legal tech and answer the question, will actually AI take over the field of jurists and lawyers, or will we be able to work together in the future? Astrid and Evelina give their best advice on how to start a company. Do you actually need to quit your job or can you do it in another way? So let's start to talk to Evelina and Asra. Welcome to the Swedish Innovation Podcast, Asra Osmancevic and Evelina Antila.
Yay! Thank you.
Hey.
So fun to have you. You're the co-founders of the legal tech company Justic, and you just got published in a really big newspaper in Sweden. So you are like us. We will talk about your startup story here today. And as well, I know that you have a background as lawyers, both of you. And Asra, you're also head of business development at Nordic Entertainment Group. And Evelina, you're also partner and investor at the early stage venture capital fund, Well Street. So I think this will be a super interesting talk when we hear like, why did you choose to start this company? Can you have a side job and and legal tech and also AI? I know that we'll talk something about, but let's start right into Justic. What is it and why do you exist? Why did you create this company together?
Yeah, I mean, perhaps we should take it from the beginning. What do you say, Asra?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we go way back.
We go way back. So we got to know each other about, I think it's more than 10 years ago, when we were both lawyers, as you mentioned, and we were working at one of the biggest law firms in Sweden. And I mean, in our jobs, we see daily how difficult it can be to get access to legal services and legal help. The threshold is quite high, and this affects not at least private individuals. And if you start scratching the surface, you realize how extensive the problem is. I mean, perhaps, as we should mention, like one of the reports that we looked at from the Swedish Consumer Agency. It's described as a significant welfare damage because consumers lose a lot of money each year. In such situation, you would think it would be good to have a helping hand, but the market for legal services aimed at private individuals has for several years been ranked as one of the most problematic ones.
In terms of
getting access to legal help, because the threshold is high. If you don't have like a lawyer in your family or know someone, you don't really know where to start. Asra and I, we can just talk for ourselves. We get requests from families and friends, and we don't always know where to direct these requests. So we were like missing a service on the market. There, basically, that was the number one reason for starting Justic.
Yeah, and also like having experience from working both as lawyers, but also as a law clerk in my case, which is sort of a junior judge, it became evident also that we have some serious issues when it comes to equal access to justice. And I think this goes across numerous domains, like how much money and knowledge a person has, like powerfully determines their ability to defend their civil rights and liberty. So when we go to law school, you know, we know in theory we should have equal justice under the law. But the question is everyone really included? And the answer is no. And this is sort of where Justic comes into play.
Is it both like that it's hard to find the correct competence, and it's also based on like you should be able to pay for that person as well?
Definitely. I think it's costs. I think it's time and the complexity. There are a lot of hurdles you sort of need to push yourself over to actually take the step to contact the lawyer.
And also, I mean, the bigger question is also at the same time, we see that there are worryingly many people that do not realize that they have a legal need. So there's also like a big knowledge gap. So we realized that there must be a smarter way that we can enable more access to legal services. And since we are acquainted with a way to do it with our backgrounds, we saw that, I mean, what automation has meant in other industries, those principles were something that we could apply into the legal field. So we built the product that we ourselves missed on the market.
Okay, that's great. So you solve a problem. First of all, like maybe not a lot of people know that they have this problem already. So this part, part of it to raise awareness. But then when you know you have a problem, you know that you're entitled to help and maybe compensation in terms of money, then you can use Justic as help.
Exactly. So the business concept is to build simple and user-friendly digital self-service tools for private individuals, whether it's consumer issues, family law issues, or labor law issues. And we collect those tools on one platform. And this platform, we call ourselves a robot lawyer, and it's called Justic.
And the tools are also affordable. We talked about costs previously, so we are also very mindful of that.
Yeah, and you're doing a lot of the work, what you say, you make it robot-like self-service, so it's scalable, basically, so you can keep the cost lower, right? Like, what did right now the service is free for the private person, right?
Yeah, exactly. But it depends on what service you are using. So we can maybe tell you a little bit about how we started off with Justic, because yeah. We launched in June last year, sort of a soft launch, where we launched our first service, Första Hjälpen, or First Aid in English. And that's basically an online legal platform where private individuals can schedule 20-minute free of charge consultations with experienced lawyers. And we are super proud of that. And we have partnered up with several lawyers across Sweden, but also with Familjens Jurist, which is Sweden's largest law firm in family law. So their lawyers provide legal support in Första Hjälpen. And that's free for ordinary Joe or ordinary Svensson, so to say. And language is, of course, a super important tool to increase access to justice. And right now we have lawyers who provide legal support in Första Hjälpen, and they cover 8 different languages. And we want to keep expanding that list to cover more languages in the future, especially minority languages in Sweden. So that was our first service that we launched. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we launched Juridikdolan. And I think that's how you, Sandra, and I connected. Yeah. And Juridikdolan is a digital self-service tool that helps women claim damages for maternal injuries that they suffered during childbirth. And that tool is also free of charge and super user-friendly. But we also have a section where you can schedule appointments with a midwife. And that is a premium tool that that is not free of charge.
Okay. I'm thinking of like Familjejuristen, or Familjens Jurist was the name, right? They do this for free, like a 20-minute talk. What's in it for them? Is it that I schedule another appointment with them later and pay them, or how does it work?
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of people don't know that the first call with a lawyer is usually free. And this is sort of a marketing channel for lawyers that hasn't existed so far. So they've compared this to like Google Ads, where if they buy advertisement space there and you type advocat, lawyer, familierätt, family law, and then, you know, 1,000 results comes up. But here, when you are involved in Första Hjälpen, we have a smart system that matches the customer's needs with your expertise. So, and that increases the opportunity to actually, you know, get a paying customer in the end. So that's what's, you know, what's in it for the lawyers. So
that's good, like the matching. So it's like, I know, hopefully, like the right people connect with me this free 20 minutes rather than I need to transfer them to somebody else. Can you tell something about, like, how do you do this matching? Is it something extraordinary smart behind it? Or like, how does it work when you match the client with the lawyer?
Well, it's basically based on your competence or the expertise area that you as a lawyer has indicated in our system. So, I mean, it's not rocket science, but I mean, that is also what we saw in general when it comes to the legal field, because it hasn't been as digitized and as other sectors. Just for example, it's not... nothing near where we see the fintech space. So Azra and I, we saw the opportunity in all these like low-hanging fruits. Like, you don't need to put like super advanced AI tools on the market. Let's just start with automating manual processes. So this booking platform, for example, is just an example of that. A better marketplace where you as a consumer can find the lawyer you need.
Okay, so I am a lawyer. I go into your webpage. I log in somehow and say what competences I have. Like, can you describe the customer journey? Like, as a private person, I go into a webpage. How do I get matched? And like, how long does it take and everything like that?
Well, you can do it as fast as in like 15 seconds. It's just 7 clicks. So you go into our site, you go to the First Aid or Första Hjälpen, and you have 8 different options on different fields. So let's say that you have a family law issue. You click on that button. You see a number of alternatives for dates and times where you can book a slot with a lawyer. And the back end here is that you've been matched with one of our lawyers that has the right competence for this question. And then you put in your contact details, names, email, phone number, and well, it's done.
That's great. That's
yeah, and the booking shows up in your calendar.
Yeah, that's great as well. Usually that doesn't work. I don't know, like whenever you get something on your email, you cannot transfer to the calendar. Maybe it's kind of tricky, but it's awesome when it works, definitely.
Yeah, and I guess perhaps that is a USP with our, I mean, you were asking how intelligent is it? I mean, it is intelligent in that sense that it directly goes into your calendar. And it's agnostic in that sense. So it doesn't matter if you have like a Google Calendar or Office.
That's good. And then I have the meeting via video or phone or with the lawyer, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, how do you, well, as you prefer it, you can have it on the phone, on the train, or wherever you prefer to have it.
That's good. I know that you have said that, like, it's a lot of money, actually, people are missing out. Like, what's the typical sum that people... maybe you don't have data on this actually, but like how much money are people losing out on and the success rate when they actually ask for this help?
Yeah, so yeah, we don't have all the data, unfortunately, but what we saw in the report published by the Swedish Consumer Agency, which is Konsumentverket, they have highlighted that failed purchases in general cost Swedish consumers 50 billion Swedish kronor annually.
And that's only the known costs.
Exactly.
Is that for like goods or is it services as well? Purchases?
Both.
Oh, that's a huge number. And then maybe you don't know your rights, like if you want to claim this didn't end up as you wanted. And yeah.
Yeah, and exactly. And that goes back to what we mentioned in the beginning, that, I mean, people do not always realize that they have a legal need or a legal right. So, I mean, this is also something we see as part of our business, is to educate the market, because there's a big knowledge gap.
How do you do that? Educate people?
Well, we can take Juridik Dolan as an example. So when we launched that service, we also made sure to partner up with journalists, with other femtech actors. And we wrote an article debating this subject. And we got it published in Aftonbladet, which is one of the biggest newspapers in Sweden. And that's how we sort of want to reach out. And that's sort of how we want to work. We have an activistic approach in our company DNA. And yeah, that's basically how we try to partner up, like I said, with different people and just raise awareness about the issues that our service targets.
You talked a little bit how it started. You met at the lawyer firm Mannheim Schwartling in Stockholm, right? But like, how did it all lead up to the decision of now it's time to start Justic together? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, we met over 10 years ago when we worked at Mannheim Swartling. And over the years, we have started and finalized, I have to add, a bunch of projects together. I mean, we played soccer together. We started an all-female stock club to learn how to invest our money. We also wrote a book called 69 Reasons to Become a Lawyer. And ironically, when the book was published, we both left our law firms. But from that point, we had like a million business ideas. I remember, Evelina, when we discussed starting a steel marketplace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then from like discussing these 1 million business ideas, Justic was born.
Exactly. And I mean, it has happened a lot. I mean, when it comes to tech in general, and I mean, obviously, we see things happen in the legal tech scene as well, although not as fast as one could wish. And I mean, everything from artificial intelligence to blockchain technology, all with the purpose to offer legal services better and more efficiently. But I mean, we, how do you say it? Vi började gräva
där vi started to dig where you stood.
Exactly. And I mean, just realizing, I mean, these difficulties that we also mentioned in the beginning. I mean, people asking us for help. And I mean, in that situation, you would love to have like a platform or a place to direct the people to and say, well, if you want to find a lawyer and get a free call, why don't you go to Justic? But we didn't have a Justic to point to. So it started there. And Asra talked a bit about our go-to-market and our product strategy. What we did was basically looking into this space and listing like all the problems that we saw and what we could easily automate and digitize. So we have like a list. I mean, it keeps growing. I think we're nearly now to 60 different types of digital tools that we have on our product roadmap, so to say. I mean, we started off with 2 now. You can just imagine how many more to come.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that is how we want to work. Like, we have an activistic approach in our company DNA. And currently we have the roadmap that Evelina mentioned, where we have identified over 50 underrepresented groups in the society when it comes to access to justice and where the legal problems and solutions are suitable for automation. So I would say we go beyond the sort of traditional B2C legal tech approach with providing templates for, I don't know, wills or prenuptial agreements and stuff like that.
Exactly. Because also just putting a template out there with nothing else, perhaps that's not enough for people to get started. You need some sort of extra help. However, now that we are speaking about like ordinary legal documents, you will soon find them also on our platform. We recently announced this partnership with Familjens Jurist, which is Sweden's biggest law firm in family law. So through them, we will also offer wills and prenups and all sorts of ordinary legal documents that you need in your everyday life.
Yeah, I'm interested. The first product you had was this first help, and the second one is Juridik Dolan, like for birth related issues. How did you choose? Okay, number two, it will be Juridik Dolan. Like, how do you pick from your backlog what to develop next?
I mean, we're both moms, and if you live in Sweden, you surely know that during the fall in 2021, there was this big debate about midwives, their work situation, how they are extremely stressed, underpaid, and so on. And we started looking into this, and we started to looking at the legal side of it and asking ourselves, is there anything we can do here to help out? And pretty fast, we acknowledged this insurance that we found out that, okay, if you give birth at a regional hospital in Sweden, then you're covered by this insurance. It's an insurance that the state provides. And we asked our friends about it, and they were like, we don't know about this.
No, I didn't know. Yeah. You're teaching me so much that it's free 20 minutes of a lawyer. And now this, I paid extra for my insurance. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Mm-hmm. We found out about that insurance, and we were like, oh, this is our call. Like, we can actually do something here. So we started looking at that insurance, started building a platform for women to easily be able to, get the money or try to get the money if they've had an terrible, birth experience and ended up with injuries. So it came very sort of naturally and organically for us to like Evelina said, basically dig where we stand and take things that are happening right here and right now, so we feel that we have momentum in it as well.
Yeah, then you can get a lot of PR as well, I guess. Evelina, you mentioned legal tech, artificial intelligence, and blockchain. Like, can we just, when we mention it, like, talk a little bit more about it? Legal tech, what is it?
Yeah, and I mean, so I guess there are different terms for it, and I think also the term has evolved over the years. But I think in general, when we talk about it, it covers like solutions that make access to justice easier for the public. And sometimes it involves lawyers, sometimes not, just through automating and robot lawyers, as we call it. So, I mean, if we're just looking at our offer at the moment, we are both like a marketplace where we match like lawyers and consumers that is in need of help. And we also offer these digital self-service tools. But I mean, it covers the whole range when it comes to technologies in general. But I think, I mean, this is also something that goes for all technologies. You sort of need to educate the market. So I don't think the best way to approach consumers that, I mean, already now perhaps see legal aid to get it is like a high threshold. Perhaps you shouldn't like throw in like a really advanced tool for it. just make it simple, go back to basics. So yeah,
I think it's also important to talk a bit about like why legal tech is important, because like Evelina mentioned in the beginning, like the legal industry is traditionally risk averse and remains so to this day. It has been very slow to adopt technology solutions, but it's definitely, you know, picking up speed. And one of the factors driving innovation in the legal field is costs. Like we mentioned, there is a high expectation of value for the legal fees we pay. So I think the last couple of years, in-house departments have come under much greater scrutiny for the amount spent on legal services. And I think that is great and fair.
And it's mostly done like digitizing manual processes, or is it really making an AI like interpret the law, or like what do you see is happening in the field?
Yeah, and I mean, we do see like initiatives like that, although it's like early stage. But I mean, definitely, it's coming.
Yeah, and I think you see like virtual courtrooms. I know that they're trying that out in like Estonia, and there's AI assisted research, and a lot of things are happening. It's super fun to see the sort of the expansion into like new areas.
What's how a virtual courtroom? Can you describe that a little bit more?
I think that would take some time. but basically, it is the possibility to have online meetings instead of, you know, traditional meetings where you go to court and you're there physically. This is sort of a way to do it on Zoom, but not using Zoom, of course, because you need much more security measures and so on for that. But it saves people time, and it's more, you know, cost efficient. It's more environmental friendly and so on. So there are a lot of pros to this.
Would you say that's like a new way of working for the lawyers then? Like, I guess that it has to do, you're used to being in a room with the people, maybe reading people a little bit. I don't know, you need to use a body language in a specific way to, I don't know. Would you say that the role is changing as well for lawyers and jurists?
I think if the role is changing, I think law is intrinsic to human nature. Like no human project is possible without the need for some kind of authority and binding structuring. I remember a professor of mine once said, like, find people and you will find law, which is a basic function of the human mind. So this is so true. Like there's a bunch of fascinating research also that shows just how deeply legal principles are embedded in us. So having that said, like everything legal tech has its pros and cons. And while it sort of revolutionizes the legal profession and model, I don't think it can ever fully replace the flesh and bones lawyers. Like law will always require a human touch. And I think technology is best seen as a complement that works alongside professionals to provide sort of faster and more cost-effective and high quality outcomes. But I don't think it will sort of replace us, and we will just see wig wearing androids everywhere.
so AI will not take over your job as like jurists and lawyers. We will still need to educate people and have the field.
I think it will enhance your job. In general, I see AI and machine learning as augmenting human cognition. I mean, obviously there will be bugs and there will be some abuses, so we need to be careful how we use these technologies. But in general, I think these are constructive. And the trend is also that we see this technology that they can, in specific domains, outperform human experts.
Do you have any examples?
Just looking into like health and medtech, for example, where you can use an AI and machine learning model to help you diagnose some sort of, for example, within cancer. So it could actually help humans, to be more accurate. Mm.
But we do get like questions from our former colleagues, like, "Oh my god, like, do all lawyers need to learn coding now? Like, AI is everywhere." And I don't know, Evelina. I mean, it's probably a waste of time in most cases. But I think a general understanding of how computers work never hurts. And like, and with that, I mean, understanding like how computers process information and maybe also how organizations use data.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And we see also that many law schools have adopted this way of reasoning and have forward thinking like projects and programs aimed at sort of future proofing their students.
Yeah, exactly. And as you mentioned, there are also initiatives around it, like Tech Academy, for example, which provides like general knowledge in this field. Because as we talked about, there are many sensible questions around possible negative impacts of new technologies. And that goes for all technology throughout our history. But I think also a big problem here is that people in general, the perception of what AI is comes from movies and media with like doomsday scenarios and super intelligent robots. But the realities are very far from the general perception and discussion, I think.
Yeah. If we go back to Justic a little bit, right now you have funding is coming from your own pockets, and also you got a governmental grant from the Swedish innovation agency Vinnova for innovation startup, because they really believe in the business you are developing at the moment, and it's scalable and all these things that they look at. But like for the future, let's talk business model a little bit. Like, how do you see that you will earn money in the future? Or will you take in more capital, or like what will you do?
Yeah, that's a good question. But you're right. Like, so apart from Vinnova, we have Justic is 100% bootstrapped. So we're really like pouring our hearts and time and our money into building this company. But the other question, like how we plan on earning money, well, the sort of the best revenue stream for your business depends on your assets and who your customers are and your current main source of income. And so far, we have identified multiple potential revenue streams to drive growth for us. And that includes different kinds of subscription fees, brokerage fees, and licensing to third parties, advertising. And, you know, many startups initially rely on one single source of revenue, but the quicker you can diversify your revenue streams, the safer your business will be in the long run. So we are really working towards finding a sustainable business model that allows us to achieve our main goal, which is to increase access to justice. Mm.
With the goal that it should still like be affordable for like the small private person, I guess.
Always affordable. Yeah.
Okay, great. Do you want to add something, Evelina?
No, I think that was a great answer to it.
Since you yourself are working with venture capital, like, do you have any plan to raise capital in the future? Do you have a plan for that already?
I mean, we haven't ruled out anything so far. We think that the best way forward for us at the moment is to keep bootstrapping it until we find the perfect way forward for ourselves. But I mean, obviously, if we want to grow outside of Sweden, which is the market that we're focusing on right now, we will need external capital. So, yeah.
Is it a lot of different, let's say, Swedish law is one thing? Does it differ a lot if you expand to other countries? Will you need to change a lot? Or?
I mean, the beauty of it is that we are a member of the EU, right? All of the members of EU have, you know, basic law principles that apply to all of us. We have EU directives that we all do our sort of base our legal all of our legal papers on, really. So we are trying to identify these underrepresented groups with legal problems or solutions that we can scale fast within the EU. So we're looking at, right now we're looking at markets like, well, they're Brexit now, but the UK is very interesting, and also Germany, for example, where the legal field is very similar to Sweden. So we could expand fast, but we will need capital to do that.
I heard that in Germany that they don't even do, of course they don't do their declaration, what's the name of that, like your taxes by yourself, you hire a person. And I heard as well that you hire a person to choose the right insurance for you, like home insurance, because it's so much paperwork, so you need a person for that as well. So if you come in with your services, I think it will be a lot of, yeah, it will be great for the German people to be able to do something by themselves. The biggest challenges so far for Justic?
Yeah, I mean, good question. Because obviously, since we're a startup, there are a lot of challenges. That's part of our job. But I think, currently, finding product market fit. And since we're not only relying on one product, we're a platform where we keep adding products. Obviously, we need to look into product market fit for each of the tools that we add to it. We started about a year ago, and we've come this far already. And it's a great learning process. We took a lot to our customers. And now with this partnership with Familius Jurist, we also think that we can accelerate much faster.
And the biggest wins, and like, when did you celebrate a lot recently?
We should celebrate more, I think.
Yeah, definitely. No, but I mean, we've been super happy just like launching Första Hjälpen, and then getting the financing, the support from Vinnova, then partnering up with Familjens Jurist, just getting all the fantastic response we've received from women for Juridikdolan. I mean, there have been a lot of wins, and the best thing I think about it all is just to do it all of this with your best friend. That's just,
yeah, amazing. Yeah, that is really, really awesome.
Do you fight sometimes? Like, do you have like when you don't think alike?
I definitely think that we. I mean, there are many times that we don't think alike, but I think we have a great process for like making it constructive. What do you say, Asra?
yeah, definitely. I mean, we attack things from different angles, and I think that's very valuable.
Yeah, I think so too.
But arguing, no, we don't do that. Our friends actually suggested a couple of days ago, like, you two should just move in together. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You agree on everything, so... So no, I don't think we argue, but we sort of have different mindsets that are very focusing on different things, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And which I think is good, since we have like quite similar backgrounds. I mean, both being lawyers prior to the things that we do today. So it's a great relationship.
Yeah, and we also, like you mentioned in the beginning, Sandra, like we have other jobs as well. So it's really like a push and pull thing where, you know, if I'm sick, Evelina will do the work more and the other way around. So, and we have small children as well. So it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of date nights have been sort of swapped for Zoom meetings with Evelina the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's really inspiring. I think as well, it's very inspiring that you have fantastic careers, both of you, and you're doing this like as a side job. A lot of people, maybe they want to create their own company. They have this mission, as you have described, like something that they're really passionate about, but they're like too afraid to like quit their job. They need, or maybe I say, I need to save up some money so I can take a year off and so on. It becomes like too big of a barrier to create this company. So then I think it's like super good inspiration. You have this as well. And then you have income as well. So you can sleep good at night, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's a lot of hard work. I mean, we shouldn't like underestimate it, because we do work a lot. Ask our husbands. I mean, I say like in life in general, I have two things. It's my children and my job.
And your husband, maybe.
Yeah, my husband is included. If you choose to do it the way that Astra and I do it, I mean, it's a lot of hard work. And it's always hard work when you start your own business.
Yeah, and I guess the sort of main takeaway is also that it's important, and like you mentioned, Sandra, just the possibility to find an employer that values your sort of entrepreneurial side and encourages you to extend your knowledge, knowing that you will bring more to the table to the employer as well in doing so. But I think for that to happen, you, of course, need to build trust with the employer and also make sure you keep delivering and exceeding expectations while you're doing these two jobs simultaneously.
Yeah, how did you bring that up with your boss, like when you asked for doing this part-time?
I just said, I'm leaving if I can.
Okay, so it was a threat.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I sort of brought it up and I mentioned that I would love to do this. I made a plan for how I'm going to do this, when I'm going to do this, and just letting them know that I have a partner in it, which means I won't carry the load myself. You have to pitch it in a good way, I think. And like I said, just keep delivering at both ends.
And I had sort of the same approach, and also a very understanding employer. But I also actually started off by taking a leave of absence part-time for a period. But I mean, I was at the place where I was looking for something new. So this was also a way to continue. I mean, being at my prior job and also doing this on the side. And I mean, prior to starting Justic, I was working at an AI company where we were building a platform for basically no code artificial intelligence. So for non-experts to build their own AI applications. So this was sort of like going hand in hand also. We weren't like competing, but this was something definitely that, I mean, I could use experience from my prior job in Justic.
What needs to happen for you to take the step to be 100% Justic?
Well, good question. I think we're... I mean, at the moment, when it really takes off, I don't think that there will be any doubt.
You will know when you get there.
You know when you know.
Yeah, but I also think like we don't really talk much about, you know, when will that happen. Like, we just have trust in the process, and we want to, you know, build our brand in an authentic way, and we want to build our company organically. I don't think Evelina or I feel the pressure to like, we need to have this much money in by that time. We really care about the customers, and we want to give people something that we need ourselves.
That's very true. And I think that all, I mean, comes back to why we started this from the very beginning. It was definitely not to make money. It was a passion project. And as you say, Astra, it's not like we have any exit plans. I mean, this is like our baby. Time will tell.
But of course, if you earn more money, you can scale more fast, you can reach more people, you can help more people. What is the next step for Justic?
Yeah, so we mentioned första hjälpen and juridikdolan, and then Evelina mentioned that we have this roadmap where we have identified over 50 underrepresented groups in society with these problems and solutions that are suitable for automation. So we are right now, currently we're building multiple new services in parallel, where... Should we mention, Evelina? So we, for example, we've identified parents who have children with diabetes as a group that are underrepresented. So we are building a service for them, and also something to do with the real estate market. So yeah, we're tapping into a bunch of fun stuff. Where we really see a big need, but for a niche group.
Can you talk a little bit more about that process? Like, okay, you have chosen diabetes for children, or like the parent, I guess it's parents that will use this tool. You built it a little bit. How do you test it? When do you choose, okay, this was not a hit, I will close it down? Like the whole like innovation process there in developing new businesses for you.
So basically, we identify this need by, you know, like I mentioned, we keep close track of the newspapers and what's going on. So we identify a problem, and then we immediately put together like a domain expert group where we basically discuss the problems. What are the problems? What are the sort of legal needs, and what are the current solutions, and what could we improve? Is there anything that, you know, that currently exists that we could enhance, or do we need to build something completely new? So this domain group is super important to us for establishing the problem and the solution that we need to build. And then we start making a mock-up. And then as fast as possible, we also engage customers to try out the mockup and to give us feedback on how we need to improve it, change it, and then we tweak things, and we do that round with customers a couple of times, and then it's time for launch. So we try to work very fast.
How long does this process take, basically?
Well, it depends on the tool, how advanced it is. And I mean, obviously, we're doing this in parallel to our other jobs. But with Juridikdolan, for example, I mean, there's so many questions around it. And we needed like midwives to help us out. And I mean, there's a lot of diaries to combine to find time. So we were working with Juridikdolan, I think, actively for 3 months. But I mean, we have a tool that we will soon launch on the platform, which Astra and I will do on a week maximum.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So yeah, so it like it depends.
Yeah, it depends.
Great. Very interesting. For the last question, I want your best like advice when it comes to somebody that's out there wanna create their own company. They have this idea, a mission, like what should they do? What's your advice to them? You can start, Evelina.
Well, execution is everything. You can have a great idea, but you need to get started. And also, like, start it with testing it out with, like, friends and family, but also beyond. Like, test the idea. Partner up. Because...
with your best friend.
Yeah, exactly. No. That's awesome. Sorry, I lost myself. What was the Astra? Jump in here.
I think it's enough. Astra, what's your advice to a person out there who want to create their own company?
What Evelina said is definitely super important and great advice. But I would also like to add, like, choose something that is passion driven, because that flame burns longer than the other flames that are not passion driven, because when you start something, it will be ups and downs, and it's challenging and it's time consuming, and you sort of hit your head against the wall many times. So I think if it's driven by passion, or a mission that you're really passionate about, you won't just give up so easily. You will keep fighting and make it work.
Yeah, that's a great final advice. If people want to connect to you, I guess that they can do it in LinkedIn. I will put the link to your profiles there, and of course to Justic's webpage as well. Thank you so much for joining Swedish Innovation. It's been a blast, and you were the first legal tech interviewees, and I learned a lot from you. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what we're doing, remember to subscribe. And if you really like our podcast, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Remember, innovation is what makes the impossible possible, and it will all start with you.